And we're back in studio. It's a beautiful afternoon here at AirVenture 2008. J-Mon G in studio on the fly today, so we say. And I'm joined by Mike Ebersole from the Grand Canyon National Park. And is it Kaibab?
Yeah, I'm also the aviation officer for the Kaibab National Forest, but most of it's Grand Canyon National Park. You bet, and it's just wonderful to be back to another Oshkosh.
Mike, it's great to have you here. You're the interagency unit aviation officer slash pilot. What does that mean?
Right, what it means is that as far as aviation is concerned in northern Arizona, they combine Grand Canyon National Park and the Kaibab National Forest into a single unit. So we have a single aviation officer to coordinate all the aircraft and the events. So it's a nice fancy title, but you know, just it's just a single big unit for aviation.
Okay. Well, tell us what you're here to talk to us about today.
Well, the one thing, and again, thanks so much for the opportunity to come over and visit for a little while, but like we keep hearing, you know, folks tell us that they can no longer fly over the Grand Canyon, and that regulation has been out there for about 20 years now, and they can. I mean, I've got a 34-year-old Cessna 172, and if I can do it, I think anybody can do it, because that's kind of a poor, tired, old airplane, but we do make it over there, because I live on the south side, my parents live in Boise, and I have to go across pretty regularly. So, and again, that's why it's such a great opportunity to try to let folks know that you can still fly yourself over the Grand Canyon. Yes, there is a special regulation there, but it just takes a minute or two to figure it out. They can come over to the Federal Pavilion where our exhibit is, the National Park Service exhibit in the northeast corner. You know, it's building 42 on a map if you've got it, the grounds. But, and we've also got a website that we can mention later on. But you really can get across there. But yeah, it does take a little bit of time, you know, to figure it out. And we'll be glad to walk people through it so that they can do it. I mean, this is an FAA, a Federal Aviation Administration regulation, not National Park Service. But we launched the website, and we'll be glad to, you know, to explain it.
Well, and I would imagine that you're involved in enforcement and in information and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, especially on the education information side. We've got an agreement going several years back between us and the Federal Aviation Administration to help get this information out. So that was part of the reason. In fact, I think that was 2003 that we actually used AirVenture as the venue to announce the website, you know, to get the word out. And again, it just takes 10 or 15 minutes, and it will walk you through, you know, the map that we're looking at here in the studio. And the enforcement, surveillance, and all that, that falls with the FAA out of the Las Vegas Flight Standards Office.
Now, you know, for anyone who can read an aviation chart, this stuff is very, very detailed.
And it looks intimidating.
It looks intimidating.
It does when you first open it up.
But it's all color-coded, and once you learn what the color codes mean,
yep,
it's really actually not very complicated.
And this side, and unlike, you know, other aeronautical charts, this, you know, a lot of aeronautical charts show an area to the north and an area to the south. This shows the Grand Canyon on both sides, but like the side we've got open right now, this is for the air tour industry. This is the routes they fly there. But when you flip it over, kind of the more colorful side of the chart is for general aviation, kind of the Part 91 operations. And again, we'll be glad if somebody wants to stop by the exhibit, we'll be glad to walk them through it, or there's an online module. You know, they can probably just Google Grand Canyon Airspace and they'll get the web address.
This is on the scale of a standard sectional.
I think it's a standard sectional, but you will also see it, not to this detail, but you'll also see it on the Las Vegas sectional. And then the CG-18 and CG-19 WAC charts, the World Aeronautical Charts, have a little information, but nothing as detailed as this. I mean, this is definitely, this is just a graphical representation of the regulation. And you can get this from some of the more well-known vendors that sell aviation supplies around the country, and a lot of FBOs carry it. And the thing that throws folks is when you look at this one that you and I are looking at is the third edition, and it's labeled April of 2001. It is still current, even though it's about over 7 years old. Mm-hmm. Most aeronautical charts, you know, they'll come out every few months, but this is not on the normal charting cycle. So even though if anybody out there has an aeronautical chart of the Grand Canyon, it's third edition, April of 2001, it is still current. Don't go looking for a newer one to buy. There's not one. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to remain the same for probably another 2 or 3 years, you know, if not longer. I mean, they are still looking at making a few changes, but they're pretty minor.
Now, it's got the It's got the frequencies on it.
Yes.
And it's got the frequencies on it, and we're having a little problem with my mic. Excuse us.
Oh, no, that's fine.
It's got the frequencies on it, and so those are easy to see, which sector you're in and which frequencies
really
you should
is.
Use.
Yeah, it, depending on whether you're talking about radio, you know, aviation frequencies or minimum altitudes or things like that, there's like three different frequencies. I mean, when you go from like Glen Canyon and Lake Powell all the way down to Lake Mead, there's 277 miles of the Colorado River that this covers that's in Grand Canyon National Park. So there's three frequencies, there's four sectors for altitudes, there's four flight-free zones, and it can be pretty intimidating, you know, kind of overwhelming, but folks just have to take my word for it. If you just spend a minute or two with this, I mean, it'll make sense, honest.
Yeah, it doesn't look that complicated. I think any private pilot who's been taught how to read a section of chart can easily understand.
Yeah, I think so, and a lot of it is that folks don't realize that there is a special chart just for Grand Canyon. So, and then the Flight Standards Office also came out with a brochure. We've got a few of those over there. And then if you're just interested in visiting the park on the ground, we've got a newspaper and a few other things.
And you're at the Federal Pavilion for the whole week through Sunday.
Through Sunday, you bet, 5 p.m.
And it's the National Park Service. And you have a website here for the United States Department of the Interior, which can you actually preview this chart on
the
website?
You really can. And I think, I mean, I would think it'd be time well spent because, again, if we're not around, I mean, it can be a little, you know, tough to figure some of this stuff out. But if you go over to this web address, you want to go ahead and mention it?
Yep, go ahead, sir.
It's www.grandcanyonairspace.iat.gov, and it doesn't seem to matter whether it's lowercase or uppercase, but again, www.grandcanyonairspace, all run together, .iat, as in Tom, .gov for government. And that'll probably be the best 10 or 15 minutes you ever spend.
Yeah, a little preparation goes a long way.
It really does. And yeah. I think you can still fly yourself over the canyon and have a good time.
Yeah. Mike, thanks so much for joining us in studio today.